Hello.
Hi, it's Lillian.
Yes, speak on.
Hi, Lillian. It's Natalie calling from MMA Legal.
Hola.
Hiya. For compliance reasons, can you confirm your date of birth and your address, please?
It's 25/04/1964, and it's 108 Pennington Place, Bowness.
Excellent.
1-0-P-E.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Lillian. Is it all right to call you William?
Yeah, well, I don't like William, but
What do you like?
I prefer Billy.
Billy.
I like William, yeah.
Yeah, let me put that
on mute. Oh, hello.
Oh. At least you know when they're coming.
Quit ringing me. See you later, then. Yeah.
I will put a note on here that you prefer to be called Billy.
Yeah, well, I prefer.
Okay. I need to make you aware that during the call, if there's any safeguarding, I would need to make a referral, obviously, to the local authority. I would discuss that with you and explain why, if that occurs. And also, with compliance, yeah, we have our calls recorded. Are you happy to continue?
Yeah,
Yeah? Okay. So today's call is literally just to gather some more information about the impact of your time in care for your application for Scottish redress. What age did you go into care?
I'm sure I was 9 years old. I've got a lot of brothers and sisters, but out of them all, I only speak to two that I found. I never even got bought a ticket. I got time to go to school up until I think I was 8 or something in primary. But then I went home and there was social workers there and they just signed a bit of paper and took me away. That was it.
Okay. And what county were you living in when you were taken to care?
It was Midlothian.
Midlothian, yeah?
Yeah, Midlothian, yeah.
Okay. And were you known by any other names in care? Was you known as Billy on the records or?
No, it'd be William Moffat.
Right, okay.
And
And
I'm trying to think of the address. I think it was 33 Spalding Crescent. I think that was the address that they took from. I'm not 100% sure.
That's okay. What we'll do is we'll do a subject access request to the local authority, so that'll all be on there. Can you remember any care settings that you stayed in? I've got Liberton Assessment Centre. That was sent to Bray.
That was the first one.
Yeah, then Midfield House Young People Centre, 74 to 76.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, Wellington Farm School for Boys, and that was 77 to 80. Were there any others?
No, I think it was 1980.
Yeah.
Me sort of being brought up in the system, I went into prison after that. Until 1984, and then screwed them up, and that was
So you mentioned that you went to prison.
Yeah.
So you went to prison, was that 1980?
Yeah, 1980s.
So 1980 to 1984?
1984.
What was that
for? Oh, mischief. Mischief, crime.
What crime did you get charged with? I can't put mischief down.
No, it's housebreaking. Never assaults or anything. It was just, I don't know.
Discovery and theft.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what it was, yeah.
Okay. Any other convictions or arrests?
No.
No problem. And what schools did you attend when you was in
care? When I was in care, I went to Kings Park Primary School.
Yeah.
And after that,
Oh, whereabouts was that one?
Well, Kings Park Primary School, that was Dalkeith, Midlothian.
Dalkeith.
Midlothian, yeah.
Midlothian. Lovely. Sorry, I forgot to ask that.
Very good.
What about high school? Did you go straight to high school from there?
I think, No, I think 80 from 12, I think it was 12 or 12 and a half, something like that. I spent about 5 or 6 months at high school, that was about it. Never seen school again.
Okay. Can you remember what high school it was?
It was Dalkeith High School.
Dalkeith, yeah?
Yeah.
Dalkeith. But never attended after this. And that was when you were in the care system, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, care system. That was when I was in Midfield Home. I used to get dropped off at the school and picked up from the school. And then when I went to Wellington Residential School, what was it? They had their own education centre.
And did you go to that one?
Yeah, yeah, well, it's a, sorry, they give you maths and English maybe once or twice a week, but the rest of the time you learn either bricklaying or mechanics or whatever at that age.
That's like a vocational course.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you learn?
I learned mechanics.
Excellent. Did you do that when you left?
No. What I done was I put it into my head once I had got myself settled and started to get myself back together. I wanted to see the country, so I paid for my XQV license, so yeah, I've done it, seen there. So,
amazing. Yeah. Well done. You saw lots of the country then?
Yes, not all. So I'm just sitting in houses now, just, it's no money, it's no worth, there's no money in it anymore, eh? So, yeah. Just in the house on DLA. Just from a little on, that sort of thing.
You're in your 60s now though, aren't you?
I'm a 50 shortly, so that'll be 62.
Wow. That's good. Okay, so what GP surgery are you registered with at the moment?
At the moment I'm registered with Kinneil Medical Centre.
Kinneil?
Yeah, Kinneil, K-I-N-N-E-I-L.
Medical. I'm glad you spelled that, you know.
Yeah, Kinneil Medical Centre. That's in Bonnet, but I don't know what the...
That's alright, I can look into Google, grab the address from there. Do you have any other professionals supporting you, like social care, occupational health, mental health?
Mental health. I think it was, what year is this? This is 2026. I think it's 2024.
Yeah.
2023. I think things got that bad for me. I'd lost everything again and... Yeah, I lost my house, lost everything, because everything was gone backwards through COVID.
Yeah.
And I tried to throw myself off a bridge. Hey ho, hey.
Well, it was obviously a tough time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you just felt that you wasn't able to cope?
Nah, it got on top. I didn't even know I was doing it, to be honest.
Yeah. Did you go to get help? Then?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Lambert Hospital and the doctors at Kinneil. I'm still seeing them to this day, but there's medication and everything's all sorted out and things that keeps me.
Yeah. Did you say Ladbroke Hospital?
Ladbert. L-A-R-B-E-R-T, Ladbert Hospital.
Is that the community mental health team based there?
Yeah.
And you're currently under them now?
I am under Kinneil Medical Practice, under the mental health team there.
With the mental health practitioner?
Yeah, I'm with him. I am the physiotherapy, advanced physiotherapy, so, yeah.
Community mental health team. So currently under primary care. Have you got a CPM?
What is that?
You would know if you was under it, so don't worry. That's just me checking.
All right.
They tell you if you're under that, so don't worry.
No, I was quite a vulnerable at the time, so yeah.
Yeah. Have you got adult social care or anything? Is it?
No, no. I can still walk and everything, but this is what I went out. Things can get in top, and I don't feel it's a safe. My head's telling me that it's not a safe place anymore.
Mm.
So, like, the last time I was out was last Thursday, and I've not been out since. Okay, I just feel safe with arm.
Is it your anxiety?
Yeah, I just don't want to. I don't want to be around anyone, and like, if I have to go shopping, I'm like in and out with a rabbit.
Mhm.
And I just don't want to go out. And so, yeah, and I'm happy at that, the way the country's going, so.
So going back to what you said about jumping off the bridge, did you actually jump off the bridge?
No. No. I got caught in my jacket. Police caught me with my jacket.
So the police caught you? Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go to hospital then?
Yeah, I went to Ladbroke Hospital, reassessed me and everything, checked over what I had done and if I was okay, and it was sort of free for me. There was a doctor, an analyst, and some other one, and they were asking me questions and asking me this, and they just more or less said that everybody's got an inner sense.
Yeah.
And if your inner sense hadn't have kicked in when it did, you wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Went right, okay. And so, yeah, they've got me on fluoxetine, chopping and changing my tablets.
Yeah. Got to find the one that works for you, haven't they?
Yeah, it's too a while, but yeah, they've found one. But I still don't go out, so I'm not really bothered at that. I'm happy sitting there.
So, did they take you in as an inpatient after they did that assessment?
They took me in for 2 or 3 days. Just to make sure everything was okay.
Was you a section 2 patient or section 3?
No, I was a section 3. And okay. And then I don't know, to be honest. Yeah.
Have you ever, if it's just that one time that you've been in?
Yeah, but I still get phone calls to make sure I'm all okay.
Yeah.
And my mental health advisor at the Kineo Medical Practice, I make an appointment every couple of months just to make sure I'm okay and, well.
Just checking in, aren't they?
Yeah, just checking in, really. I quite enjoy going to sleep. Yeah.
You built up a good rapport, that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, in terms of thoughts of ending life, do you still get those thoughts?
The thoughts are there every day, huh? The thoughts are there every day. I think.
Do you remember when it started?
Something back. Well, my wife's been dead 13 years, so 2011 or 2012 it all started.
So after your wife passed away.
Yeah, well, I think. I'd been on a long drive that time, and I came back after a couple of days. It was about 7 o'clock at night, and I went in. The wife was sitting watching the telly, and I went through, got my dinner, came through, and I had to pull her off the chair. She was blue, and trying to resuscitate her, but no, she was gone. So I think she was just holding on till I got back, but and that's always gone through my head, always. The thought's always here.
So, is it the thought of her?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. When you speak to the mental health practitioner, ask her to explore that with you a little bit more and tell her what thoughts you're getting. Do you get nightmares with that?
I'm always getting nightmares, always, because it's never going to go away. They said that it'll never ever go away, but we can try and help you to see if we can actually make it easier for you and stop thinking that there was nothing else you could have done. You've done what you've done.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, so there's, then that's just the way of life, I suppose. Everybody loses someone.
But it's obviously, it's a trauma for you, and it's really important that that is addressed. My recommendation to you is to, obviously, when you speak to your mental health practitioner, explain that you're getting nightmares, explain that you've got these quite vivid thoughts, explain that you're hypervigilant, which is why you don't want to go outside. It sounds similar to PTSD. I don't know if they've mentioned that to you before.
Right.
Yeah. So I definitely would get that checked out with your GP, and then see if you can get some therapy for it. Usually EMDR is better for PTSD.
It was just back then when people get too clean, they get too clean.
But now you can address some of the things, you know. I'm not going to say it's going to make anything easier. It's just helping you cope with what you've been through in your life, if that makes sense.
I try and cope as much as I can.
Yeah.
Part and parcel of life now, I think. But
well, see if we can make it a bit easier.
Yeah.
You've been through a lot. You've been through a lot, Billy. Have you had any counselling or therapy at the moment?
When she died, or passed away, I got somebody from the church.
Yeah.
Came out, and gave me a couple of meetings, but at that time, no.
No.
I wasn't really interested because it worked out that the reason that I'm actually remembering it all is because she had COPD.
Yeah.
And she had an attack.
A few years before.
And she went to the hospital. And I can't mind the professor's name. It was a woman anyway, but Edinburgh Royal and somebody. But the professor came along, had done x-rays, this, that and the next. Your wife won't see past tonight. I went, right, okay. And so I sat there. But I couldn't sit all the time because that noise and that heart machine kept on beep, 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 and I was waiting on it to stop. So I went out into the room the next 10 days. She was fine. They shifted her to another ward, and then home. She came home.
Yeah.
Just all because the hospital needed the bed, they sent her home, and she died 2 days later.
It's quite a shock, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you can't come in and say, she's not going to see tonight. And then 2 or 3 days later, she's home and gone.
Sometimes it happens like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, they say you've got spot energy before you're ready, so, well, I don't know if it's true or not, so.
She's still with you, though.
Oh, yeah.
100%. So, before, obviously, your wife passed away, did you get any counselling or therapy, like from care settings or anything?
What it was I was actually, I've actually been on DLA for years. I was actually in hospital for a long time because I fell through the loft and down the stairs. And ended up, I stepped back and forgot about the hatch. So I've got static kind of in my spine around here, so yeah.
Okay, so did you attend hospital as a child, like when you were there?
The strangest thing was, I think I was, when I was 4 or 5, my mother and father decided to move from Lanark, that's where I was born, Lanark, and decided that they wanted to move to Edinburgh. So, You had an old Ford Anglia at the time, if you remember that. There was three brothers in the back. My mother was in the front. My dad was driving. And I was on her knee. And as far as I'm aware, the brakes failed. I went through the windscreen. That's it. I just woke up. And I can't remember anything else about it. I can't remember a thing. I've got a party false slip on my lip. Must have filled it with jelly or whatever it was, but I can't think of, I can't even remember coming to the hospital, I can't remember anything.
And you were 4 or 5?
Yeah. And I can't remember anything. I asked my doctor for my files that way back to see if I could actually find anything, but nothing.
So it's partial false lip?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And that was under mum and dad's care?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and what about any care hospital when you was in care?
No. Nothing at all.
Okay. Do you provide us with consent to get copies of your subject access request, so your hair records,
yes,
and any other, yeah, and any professionals as well that we spoke about today in the call?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay, do you smoke?
I do smoke.
And what age?
At the time, I started smoking when I was, I think, 8 and a half, 9, because I can remember, it's funny how you remember the strangest things, but, last time I seen my mum and dad, they signed a bit of paper and left it with Robin, who was my social worker at the time, signed a bit of paper saying I was allowed to smoke. That was it. Never seen them again.
So your parents say, parents signed a piece of paper to say that?
Yeah. It was so strange.
Yeah, you'd never get that now, would you?
No, you wouldn't get that now, but at that time there was different laws, different this, different that.
Yeah.
You couldn't complain anything, you couldn't go to anybody and say that he's just bad me or whatever you're going to say, because then it just makes it worse. Nobody wants to know, and you don't care, so shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about drugs? Have you ever taken any drugs?
Never take drugs.
And what about alcohol?
I don't take alcohol either.
Have you ever drunk or drugs?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. What age did you leave care?
I left care when I was 16. I went straight from care into...
Glenorchy Prison. Straight. That would have been up to about 20 then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it was 1984, so that would have been, I think it was 16 for the commute time. That's when the commute was 84.
Yeah, so you were about 20, weren't you?
Yeah, because I got married when I was 21, I think.
So between the ages of 20 and 21, did social care offer you any support?
No. I never even seen a social worker after that.
Never?
There was nothing. No care, nothing. No aftercare, even when I was 16. And I went to prison. I got better than there and all, but hey ho, that's just part and parcel of life as you're a teenager. And so, yeah. But no aftercare, nothing.
Okay. So, during your time with ourselves, would you prefer to have a male or a female advisor to support you through your
pain? I'm not fussy, hen. Honestly, I'm not fussy. I'm not biased or racial or anything, so, yeah. I mean, you can do a job better, sometimes better than a man, to be honest, so, yeah.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll allocate you to B. So, you've already explained quite a lot to me, so that will... You won't have to repeat yourself, I've already got it all on record. When we get a copy of your care records, would you like to see that? Yeah.
Well, to be honest, Hen, I've never, from when I was nine up until now, I have no indication or any memories at all. None. I've not even got a photograph of myself. The only thing that I have got, and I've protected that with my life, is my original birth certificate. That's all I've got handy. Yeah. So I've still got my original birth certificate. That's all I've got from my childhood.
Well, we'll do our best to get as much as we can, and then obviously we can give you some copies of that as well.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
So what will happen now, it's going to take about 10 months for this process.
Yeah, okay. That's
I'll be your main point of contact, so if you save this number in your phone, then when you've got a question or anything, you can just give me a call.
Yeah.
We are going to now gather the evidence of your case, so that means doing all the subject access requests, gathering all that information. When we've got all that information, I'll give you a call and we'll go through to clarify what is there and double check what we're putting into your statement.
Yeah.
Once we've got all of that, we'll then put it through to the panel for Scottish redress. Then they'll do a panel hearing. It's closed door, actually you don't need to attend that, okay?
Yeah.
Then you'll get obviously a response from that panel.
Part
of our compliance, I have to make you aware, obviously because our calls are recorded as well, that you've got different options in regard to Scottish redress. So one of them is you can independently do this yourself and research your own evidence. You're entitled to have a different solicitor from England and Wales. Usually they've accepted a fee of £2,000 from Scottish redress, and they get that fee whether they win or lose for you. And the other option is obviously ourselves. We have opted out of taking that fee from Scottish redress, and we only take the maximum 20% capped fee if you win your case. If you lose, we don't charge you any fee. So that means that we're completely independent and we're acting for you.
Yeah.
And you are entitled to a 14-day cooling-off period. Are you happy to wait 14 days, or would you like us to proceed immediately?
Just proceed immediately, and it's not the fact of the money or anything. I wasn't really bothered about the money. I didn't even claim any money for the swapping out in prison. It's not the fact of the money. I got the claim, so I deserve what I got, but there wasn't laws there at that time to protect individuals like myself, but now there is.
Yeah. So, obviously, it's not going to change anything that's happened, but it will give you some compensation and acknowledgement, and hopefully an apology for what happened during that time. And I think that's really important. I think more than anything, that it's acknowledged that it wasn't okay. So, you're happy to continue with us as NMA Legal? Lovely. Have you got any questions for me?
No, really, Helen. I just would like some memories back, at least.
I'll put on here your copy of all records,
Yeah.
I can't guarantee what's going to be in there, and some of it might be unsettling to hear, if that makes sense.
Keep up mind for me.
Yeah. But we can go through that together in the first instance. So you're not going through that on your own. And if there's any point you need to stop, obviously, we can always take a break and come back to it when you're ready. Yeah?
Right, that's right.
Okay, so that's everything from me for today. In a couple of weeks' time, you should get some paperwork through. And we shall start progressing your claim.
Thank you very much.
No worries. You take care and have a good day, okay?
You have a good day,
See you later. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.